Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is all of it. Let's talk tigers, as in the actual animals and how they're treated. Now, if you've been online recently, and we know you have, you may have been wondering, have we reached peak Tiger King? Whether or not you've seen the Netflix docuseries or listened to the podcast of the same name, it seems that the name Joe Exotic, the self-proclaimed Tiger King, is everywhere. The story of the Oklahoma big cat collector and the ensemble of characters that surrounded his zoo has been covered from the New York Times to TMZ. Joe Exotic is now in prison, yes, for conspiring to kill the owner of a big cat sanctuary, as we learned in the documentary. But think about this. Of the 19 crimes Joe Exotic was convicted for, 17 were for animal welfare-related offenses. Earlier this week, we had a conversation with journalist Rob Moore, the creator of the Joe Exotic Tiger King podcast, who followed the story for 5 years. He pointed us towards another journalist who has covered the issue of animal trafficking and abuse in the U.S. Her name is Rachel Neuauer. She's a freelance journalist who has contributed to the New York Times, Nat Geo, and more. She's the author of the book Poached, Inside the Dark World of Wildlife Trafficking, exploring the global forces behind the illegal animal trade and the conservationists. Rachel, welcome to All of It.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you write in your piece, a recent piece you had, everybody can catch it on Longreads. Although no one tracks big cat ownership in the U.S., it's estimated that there are likely more pet tigers in America than there are left in the wild. What's more, depending on the species of cat, federal oversight is either limited or non-existent. In some states, it's easier to buy a lion, a 400-pound predatory killer, than it is to get a dog. First of all, why is it so difficult to get accurate figures measuring the scale of this issue?
Well, the feds have never actually tracked who does and doesn't have a pet tiger, a pet lion. There's just no one keeping up with the issue. States are left instead with patchwork legislation. You know, some states outright ban you from having a pet tiger. Other states have absolutely no laws in the book.
So it's so interesting. I mean, when you think about federal laws, are there none or are they just lax or ignored?
So there's a few laws that pertain to the Endangered Species Act. So those fall for tigers, for example. They're an endangered species. However, there's no oversight of overall ownership by the federal government. The Animal Welfare Act is supposed to ensure humane treatment of big cats and other captive animals, but inspectors are overworked, rules are weak and vague. The Fish and Wildlife Service requires permits to sell endangered species such as tigers across state lines, but, you know, it's very easy for an unscrupulous buyer to just, you know, throw a tiger cub in their trunk and drive it across the state line and sell it to someone for cash. And it's super easy to break these few flimsy laws that are in place.
Is it because it's largely a cash business?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a cash business. During Joe Exotic's trial, for example, one of the witnesses actually testified, you know, I've never seen anyone actually fill out the paperwork correctly and not pay in cash.
So how does, that's amazing. What about at the state level?
Like I said, it's really a patchwork. So there's actually 10 states in which anyone can just own a lion, a tiger, whatever, if they just pay for this like little $30 license from the USDA, Department of Agriculture. And it's very, very easy to get that license. It's just something you kind of mail in. Two-thirds of states do have some sort of prohibition, so ranging from those licenses to outright bans. But four states, North Carolina, Wisconsin, Nevada, and Oklahoma, have absolutely no laws in the books at all. Those are those states that you mentioned earlier where it might be easier to get a dog, or harder to get a dog, excuse me.
You, in researching your book, Poached, you visited 10 countries around the world. How is tiger trading a global issue?
So, yes, there are fewer than 4,000 tigers left in the wild all over the world. About 3,000 of them live in India. And habitat loss is the primary driver of their decline, but so is poaching. And in places like China and Vietnam, tigers are really highly sought after for their parts for traditional medicine and for this tonic called tiger bone wine. It's made from brewing the animal's bones in wine. It's really nasty stuff. China has tiger farms. These farms were established in the 1980s, and they've only grown since then. And although it's illegal in China to buy tiger bone, these farms are leaking parts out. They are also contributing to poaching because they're keeping demand for tigers alive in places like China. And they also serve as a smokescreen for laundering poached tigers into this underground trade. The problem here with connection to tigers in the U.S. is when American diplomats try to talk to people in China or Vietnam, for example, and say, hey, you know, maybe you should close those tiger farms, they turn right back around to us, our diplomats, and say, well, look at your own backyard, you know, clean up your own mess. How can you be pointing fingers at us? So that is how tigers in the U.S. connect to tigers abroad.
My guest is Rachel Neuauer. She is a journalist who has written the book Poached: Inside the Dark World of Wildlife Tracking. And you recently wrote this piece for Longreads, The Strange and Dangerous World of America's Big Cat People. And you describe going to Joe Exotic's zoo in Oklahoma for what are called tiger cub petting sessions. What happened?
Correct. So if any of the listeners are on Tinder, I'm sure you've seen people posting selfies with tiger cubs. Please don't do that. Please don't like those photos. So tiger cub petting is how people like Joe Exotic make their money. You know, people come to their roadside zoo. They pay a lot. I think I paid something like $80 for 12 minutes with this little baby tiger lion crossbreed cub. And, you know, you get your photo made. And the thing is, nobody thinks about, first of all, that cub's welfare. You know, it's being handled all day. It's ripped from its mom when it's a very young age. It's not treated well. But the most important thing here is what happens to that cub when it grows up. I mean, the cub I played with at Joe Exotic Zoo was on the cusp of being too large for playtime. The cub actually attacked the cameraman and bit him, and he had a welt there. Once that cub gets too big, which is like 6 to 8 weeks old for playtime, it's either sold out the back door, or it's killed, or it's kept around for breeding, for just churning out more cubs. Experts call this the breed and dump cycle, because you have to constantly be making more cubs for these play sessions and then dumping them somewhere, because a tiger can cost $10,000 a year to feed.
So it's, doesn't the zoo have to adhere to certain regulations? Aren't zoos like this regulated, even if the animal trade isn't?
So, I mean, there, like I said earlier, there are some regulations under the Animal Welfare Act, but, you know, inspectors are overworked. A lot of the rules are vague or weak, and it just doesn't get done. I mean, I think Joe Exotic's zoo had like hundreds of citations from USDA, and there were 4 open investigations that were going on for years from USDA. But it really took these murder-for-hire charges to get people to finally, you know, pay attention on a really serious federal level to what was going on there.
You know, an argument that people like Joe Exotic and other tiger collectors make, and especially in the series, is that they are doing, they consider it conservation.
Mm-hmm.
How valid
do
you consider?
that's going to be a zero. yeah, they are not doing conservation. They're making money and, in many cases, trafficking animals. A lot of people who, you know, see tigers at these places are like, oh, you know, we're helping conservation because we're making more tigers. These are an endangered species, right? So more of them is a good thing, which is absolutely not the case. There's never been a case of a tiger from the U.S. being reintroduced to the wild. Conservation is protecting a species' genetics, and it's protecting a species' ecological niche. These tigers in the U.S. in people's backyards are doing none of that. They're also called generic tigers or American mutt tigers. So in the wild, tigers belong to distinct subspecies. But the tigers in the U.S. have just, like mutt dogs, they've just been mixed and crossbred with each other. So genetically, they don't even have any value.
My guest is Rachel Neuauer. She's a journalist who's written a book called Poached: Inside the Dark World of Wildlife Trafficking. And you check out her Longreads piece, The Strange and Dangerous World of America's Big Cat People. Well, who are some of the people who are and the organizations that are doing good in this area that are confronting the issue?
For sure. There's a lot of people working really hard on this. You probably wouldn't know it from watching Tiger King. Carol Baskin and her husband Howard at Big Cat Rescue are some of the leaders in trying to shut down big cat ownership and to ban all petting of cubs. They have a bill that's currently being discussed in the House that they've been championing for years. Mm-hmm. It's called the Big Cat Public Safety Act, and it's got the backing of people like PETA, Humane Society, International Fund for Animal Welfare. So, you know, there's a lot of people working really hard on the advocacy level to try to stop this trade.
So I'm curious, as someone who has written about animal trafficking globally in the States, who's actually been to Joe Exotic's zoo, what was your reaction when you first saw the series?
You know, I was a little disappointed, like I think many people who are coming at this from a serious journalism perspective or an animal welfare perspective. You know, it was extremely entertaining. You know, it's enjoyable to watch, but I think it should definitely be taken with a grain of salt. It's a show that is reality television, not straight up documentary. And unfortunately, I think they just really missed the mark or missed a great opportunity to deliver a stronger conservation message. You know, a show can be entertaining and also still have substance and value.
Well, what are some of the details about animal trafficking that you think were overlooked in these conversations and in the series?
Well, they portrayed cub petting, but they did not go behind the scenes to emphasize the harm that comes to cubs, how cruel it is. They did not talk about this breed and dump cycle and clarify that for people. I mean, I've heard from sources that I've checked in with, and people are actually now wanting pet tigers, and they're wanting to get tiger selfies because of this series. So it seems like in some ways it might even harm efforts to curb big cat trade in this country rather than helpful.
Well, on the other hand, we can have conversations like this about it, which are helpful.
Yep.
Why do you think this story has taken off the way it has?
I mean, I think people are stuck at home. We're all looking
bottom
for
line,
an escape.
Right?
Yeah, we're all looking for an escape. It is highly entertaining. I mean, I spent a year of my life pursuing this story as well, and I remember in the beginning when I'm uncovering all these crazy details about Joe, just being like, wow, can you believe this? I get it. It's a larger-than-life, too-good-to-be-true kind of story.
The name of her piece is The Strange and Dangerous World of America's Big Cat People. Rachel Neuauer, thanks for sharing your reporting with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much.